The theme this month is coming together regarding who Jesus is. And tonight's message is Jesus is Savior and Lord. Jesus is Savior and Lord. And you know, I go out on the streets here in downtown Tulsa with a ministry one Saturday a month. And we share the gospel with people one-on-one. And I love sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, be it on the pulpit or one-on-one. And one Saturday a month, I go out with a ministry and we share the gospel in neighborhoods here in downtown Tulsa. We share the gospel at the bus station. We share the gospel to people who are living under bridges. And we give away food items, we give away clothing items, and we give away gospel tracts. And the question I often ask the people that I minister to is, sir, ma'am, if you were to die tonight, do you know if you would go to heaven? And I hear various answers. And one of the answers I hear is, yes, I'm going to heaven because I have faith in Jesus. Or I'm going to heaven because Jesus is my Savior. And so I proceed to explain that Jesus also wants to be their Lord. And for you here tonight, if you've accepted Jesus and put faith in Him, Jesus is your Savior. He died on a cross over 2,000 years ago so that by faith in Him, we would not have to die in hell. That's good news here tonight, right? Yeah. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ died on a cross over 2,000 years ago so that by faith in Him, we would not have to die in hell. You see, hell is for the devil and his angels. And Jesus came to save us, to rescue us from eternal hell. Now imagine a place where there is not a hint of sickness. There's no financial need for even a moment. There's no regret. Imagine a place where you are at peace and harmony with every being you ever encounter. A place where you enjoy the presence of God and Jesus for trillions of years into eternity. Friends, this is heaven. And Jesus died on a cross to rescue us from hell and to give us heaven by faith in Him. Amen here tonight?
Amen.
Jesus died upon the cross to be our Savior from hell. Jesus died upon the cross to be our Savior from the grip of sin. Jesus died to rescue you from the stronghold, from the grip that sin would want over your life. So how many here have Jesus as Savior tonight? Amen. All right, that's good news. That's good. Let me ask you a question here tonight. If you remember nothing else here tonight, remember this. If Jesus were to stand before you face to face after this service tonight, and He were to ask you, who do you say that I am? How would you respond? If Jesus were to stand before you tonight, face to face, and were to ask you, who do you say that I am? How would you respond to Jesus?
Lord and Savior.
That's good. Would you be able to say, Jesus, You are my Lord? But not just with your words, would you mean it with your heart? Would you be living that out with your life? Because after all, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now this word in the original language is kurios. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, kurios, kurios, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, He describes the will of the Father. I'd encourage you tonight, if you have a Bible, when you go back to your bed, read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So Jesus was saying, I'm not into lip service. We have a saying in America that says, talk is cheap, right? In other words, Jesus was saying, I don't only want you to say with your mouth that I'm your Lord. I want you to mean it with your heart. I want you to live it with your lifestyle. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
Lord, what does the word Lord mean? This word kurios in the original language means supreme in authority. controller. You see, Jesus, when you put your faith in Him, He became your Savior. But Jesus also wants to be your Kurios. He wants to be your Lord, supreme in authority over your life. How many here have a boss that they work for? Maybe 5 hours a day, maybe 8 hours a day, maybe 20 hours a week. And if that boss is paying you and he tells you what to do, you do it, right? Well, guess what? Jesus wants to be the big boss in your life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, a few verses down from Matthew 7:21, Jesus gives an awesome parable. The parable of the wise and the foolish builders. Matthew 7:24. Jesus spoke in pictures. He was a great communicator. And he says this in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. So let's look at this parable. It's talking about a house. What house is Jesus talking about in this parable? He's talking about your life. And you are the builder of that house. You are the builder of that life, your life. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine, which words? The words that he spoke in the scriptures and the chapters previous in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Is like a wise man who built his life upon the rock. What is the rock? The rock solid foundation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then he describes the storm. And he says, the storm comes. He says, and the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. What does the storm represent?
Life,
okay. The storm represents death. The storm represents death. When death comes storming into your life, can it be said of you that your house, your life, was founded upon the rock-solid foundation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Friends, this is Scripture. This is true Christianity, making Jesus Savior and Lord, controller over every part of your existence. And then he gives another part to this parable. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine, the words in the Sermon on the Mount, and does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This house, this life, built upon shifting sand. What does the sand represent? What does the sand represent? What does it represent? Remember, the rock represents the solid lordship of Jesus Christ upon which your life is built. But what does the sand represent? Okay, that's good. Worldly desires. The sand represents the fleeting pleasures of this life. It represents a me, myself, and I mentality. I do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, just because I want to do it that way. Sand is a mentality that does not recognize the lordship of Jesus over its life. And Jesus said that this house, this life, built on sand, built on the fleeting pleasures of this life, built on me, myself, and I doing what I want to do when I want to do it, is a house that when the storm comes will come down with a crash. And what does that mean, that this house comes down with a crash? It means that this house can be lost eternally, separated from God forever. If you're in control of your own life, if you're doing whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, just because you want to do it, if you're just thinking me, myself, and I, then you're building your house, you're building your life on shifting sand. You're in control of your own life. And Jesus said, when the storm comes, when death comes storming into your life, that house will fall with a great crash. That house can be separated eternally from God. But he also said, previous to this, we talked about that the house that is founded on his lordship, on the rock of Jesus Christ, when death comes storming in, that house, that life will stand for eternity with God in heaven. That's good news here tonight, right? And maybe tonight your life has been built on shifting sand. Maybe you've been doing whatever you want to do. Maybe you've been in control of your own life, but there's hope for you tonight. There's time for you tonight. You can make a change. You can repent from going your way to going your God's way starting tonight. Amen?
Amen.
So that when death comes storming into your life, you'll be with God forever in heaven. Your life will stand. Jesus as Lord, Kurios, controller, supreme in command. Let me ask you here tonight, which house do you want to be? Which life do you want to be? The house on the rock of Jesus or the house that is built on shifting sand? I want to be the house that's built on the rock solid foundation of the lordship of Jesus Christ. How about you here tonight?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Billy Graham, the great evangelist, said this. He said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. But being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. And as you're building your life on the lordship of Jesus Christ, it doesn't happen overnight. Building your life on the lordship of Jesus Christ can take an entire lifetime on this earth. You're building that house, you're building your life day after day, week after week, month after month on the lordship of Jesus Christ. So don't get down on yourself if your entire life is not yet built on the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's a gradual process. Remember, Billy Graham said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. When you accept Jesus as Savior, when you put faith in Him, were you to die at that moment, you'd go straight to heaven. But guess what? You've accepted Jesus in the past, and many of you will live 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 years after that. It's in those years on this earth that you be a Christian. It's not good English, but you be a Christian in those years. You build your house, your life in those years on the rock solid foundation of the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, the person who is making Jesus Lord is always aware of this question. What would Jesus do or say if he were in the situation that I find myself in? If you're building your house, your life, on the lordship of Jesus Christ, this question always looms in the back of your mind. What would Jesus say or do if he found himself in the situation that I find myself in today? Jesus is perfect. I want to follow Jesus. That should be your response. What would Jesus do? Whatever Jesus would do is what I would want to do. This is true discipleship. Now, what is the distinguishing feature between a nominal Christian, one who calls themselves a Christian? Nominal Christian means this. Well, somebody says, I was born into a Christian home, so I'm a Christian. That's a nominal Christian. What's the distinguishing feature between a nominal Christian, a Christian by name only, and a true disciple of Jesus Christ? It's the lordship of Jesus Christ. A true disciple of Jesus Christ, one who is following Jesus with God's help on a daily basis, is doing what? Is building his life, his house, on the lordship of Jesus Christ. See, a nominal Christian, a Christian by name only, is not necessarily building his life on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But a true believer, a true follower, a true disciple of Jesus Christ is building his house, his life, on the solid foundation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to be. How about you here tonight? Amen?
Amen.
The Lordship of Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do in this situation? Jesus wants to be Lord, controller, supreme in authority over every part of your life. And as I said earlier, maybe tonight you've been in control of your life, maybe. Just doing whatever you want to do, thinking about yourself. Well, tonight's the night to start moving into the passenger side and giving Jesus the steering wheel of your life. Say it with me tonight. Jesus,
Jesus,
I want to give you the steering wheel
of my life.
Take control of my life. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the practical ways in our lives to make Jesus Lord. Some of the practical ways. In your words. Let's say somebody gets under your skin. They irritate you really bad. Right? We've all been there, right? Let's say you stub your big toe. Or something happens to you. It really irritates you. Human nature wants to do what? The first thing is they want to speak a bad four-letter word, right? But you've got to ask yourself, if Jesus were to find himself in the same situation, how would Jesus respond? How would my Lord and Savior respond to irritation? Jesus would not speak a bad four-letter word. Jesus would speak words of peace and joy, words of encouragement. Is that making sense here tonight? If you're a true follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're always going to think, what would my Savior, my Lord, do in this situation? I want to do what he would do if he found himself in the same situation I find myself in today. Ephesians 4:29. Paul writes. He says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Making your words pure, speaking the words that Jesus would speak, speaking words of kindness even when you're irritated, that's evidence that you're making Jesus Lord over that area of your life. And friends, it's not easy building our house, our life on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's tough. In our own human flesh, we want to do whatever we want to do at times, right? So when it gets tough and you can't do it on your own, you just got to cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. This is too difficult. My flesh is fighting against what I know I should really do in making you my Lord. And when you cry out to God, he will give you his grace, his strength, his divine empowerment to make his son Lord over that area of your life. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Another area, your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So, let's say you overcame alcoholism. You're sober, right? You've been away from it for months or maybe a year or two. And maybe you find yourself amongst a group of people that are drinking alcohol. And you're tempted, and they're tempting you. You know what? You ought to take a drink with us. And you're like, man, it's just so hard to say no. But then in the back of your mind, the question ought to loom. What would my Savior and Lord do if he found himself in this situation? Our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ would walk away. And that's the same thing. If we're following him, if he's our Lord, we've got to walk away. You've got to walk away if you've struggled with that issue in your life. That's making Jesus your Lord over your body. Maybe it's a drug addiction. Maybe you overcame a drug addiction. And you've been sober for weeks or months or years. But sometimes you're still tempted to do that drug. And maybe you find yourself amongst somebody or somebodies who's doing that drug that you once enjoyed. The question in the back of your mind you've got to ask yourself is this. What would my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ do if he were in this situation? Jesus was perfect, so Jesus would run. He would not get involved with that. And that's the same thing that you've got to do. And God will give you his strength and his grace to do it. That's building your life on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's making Jesus Christ Lord over what you do with your body. Is that making sense here tonight? Another area, for instance, in your mind, let's say there's somebody who has offended you deeply, really hurt you, really irritated you, whatever it might be, only you and God know. And this person has really hurt you, really stuck it to you. First human natural inclination would be to do what? Would be to get even, right? Man, I just want to get even with that person because they hurt me so badly. But the question in the back of your mind has got to be what? What has it got to be? What would Jesus do concerning his offenders? What did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus practiced and walked a life of forgiveness. If Jesus is truly your Lord, when somebody irritates you, when somebody offends you, you do what? You just got to forgive. Let it go in Jesus' name, because vengeance is God's. God will take care of that situation. Making sense here tonight? It goes for so many areas of our lives. Your finances. If Jesus is Lord over your finances, you're not going to use your finances to purchase things that are ungodly. You're going to use your finances for what? For things that are godly, to advance the kingdom of God, to help other people, to pay your bills. Making sense here tonight? Yes. Jesus as Lord over every part of your existence. And say it with me tonight. Jesus, give me your strength, for me to build my house,
my life
on the rock solid foundation, of your Lordship. Be in control of my life. Be the one supreme in authority over every part of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Got good news here tonight? You know, you got to get into the Word of God. You got to wash your mind, your spirit with the Word of God. The Word of God, the Sermon on the Mount, the New Testament, the Old Testament will teach you how to live a godly life, a Christ-like life, a life that evidences the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Not to read this Word just once in a blue moon. I've preached this before. But to read the Word of God on a consistent basis, because the books that you read will influence the way that you act. Why not read the greatest book in the world and let it influence your life to build it upon the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to jump back real quick to the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only he, only she who makes Jesus Lord over every part of their existence. The path to life is narrow. And Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount as well. If anyone wants to be the disciple of Jesus, he's got to do what? He's got to do what? Deny himself, take up the cross daily, and follow him. The Christian walk is not peaches and cream. It's not a bed of roses. The Christian walk is a life of self-denial. But you don't have to do it on your own. God is right there with you by his Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He'll give you the strength to put death to self, to deny self and make Jesus number one. Amen?
Amen.
Is that good news here tonight? We're ambassadors. You're all ambassadors of this good news. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I'm here sharing this with you tonight. Guess what? You also are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And you can bring this message to people in your spheres of influence. Think about this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you so much, he loved us so much, that he sent Jesus to die upon a cross so that we would not have to die in hell. Jesus loved you so much that he died for you and he died for me, so that we could escape eternal loss. Amen?
Amen.
And our response, our way of saying thank you, Jesus, for dying upon the cross for my sins, is that, Jesus, I want to make you Lord. I want to surrender, submit my life to your Lordship in every single area. Jesus, I thank you that you rescued me from hell. And my way, Jesus, of saying thanks to you is by living my life dedicated and submitted to your Lordship on a daily basis. Give me your strength to deny myself consistently. Amen.